let's deal with something more important. How are we going to get you to work? How are we going to get you to where the jobs are? How are we going to finally get a vote on mass transit coming up in August in locations all around town starting next Tuesday? There will be opportunities for you to have comment on, yes, the mass transit people have been hard at work. They are not discouraged. They say, hey, this is a marathon. And the race is not over yet. And they took people's suggestions from this past winter and spring. Now they've got specific ideas for what are called bus rapid transit, and maybe the train, maybe a bus rapid. They haven't figured out what's going to go northeast. And they're dealing with three specific routes that they want to get people's feedback on: red, green, or blue. The red route would go from Greenwood all the way up to Carmel. The blue route would go all the way from Washington Square, maybe, dare I say, Hancock County, all the way out to the airport and where the jobs really are in Hendricks County. And then the green line would go from downtown out to beautiful, I can't even see this, Noblesville, somewhere. Okay, and in the house is Anna Teskowitz. She's the head of the Metropolitan Planning Organization. They're the ones that plan, you know, how to build highways better, but more importantly, they want to spend a bunch of that money on how to make mass transit better. And Aaron Bingaman, the director of the Central Indiana Regional Transit Authority. Guys, welcome.
Thank you, Amy.
So now you've gotten to the point where you think you know how these things are going to work and where the stops are going to be. Yes. Is that basically it?
Yeah, that's it. And I think some specific questions about stops and where they meet an intersection and where might those stops be and what kinds of station mm-hmm. at that stop. Is it a small one or is it a big one? Is it a park and ride? You know, as we get closer to town on some of these stops, we know that those are going to be more walk-up stations, mm-hmm. and they're going to meet up with the local bus service, and folks will be able to transfer, and we get farther out. Those will be more drive-up stations where folks can park. Right, so we're going to have a lot of information about what the stops and stations are, and we'll talk about where and how they fit into some specific streets. Anna?
No. Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry. Oh, and this is the first time that we've ever been to this level of planning detail on mass transit regarding Indy Connect. So I'm just very excited to be able to talk about the preliminary recommendations of the three lines, the station locations, and the specific alignments and how that's going to impact our streets today.
So now you're going to be asking people all over town beginning on Tuesday, August the 6th at lunchtime at the Arts Garden, and then also in the evening on Tuesday, August the 6th down at the offices of Keep Indianapolis Beautiful, which is down in Fountain Square on Fletcher Avenue. And then it will go around for the next, looks like 2 weeks. Asking people's opinion. Let me first ask, the blue line is the one that is relatively simple for people to understand. That is basically going to run down Washington Street from Cumberland, Washington Square, maybe past that to the Walmart and what have you, all the way out to the airport. And when you guys say bus rapid transit, that means those big, longer-looking buses that look like a train, but it's really a bus, would ride down the center of Washington Street. And when they have a station, would it be platforms on the outside of where the bus is or on the inside?
Mm-hmm. For Washington Street, we're actually looking for stations to be located along the street and mm-hmm. not in the middle.
Right.
But, yeah.
So it would be on the curb.
Yeah, it would be on the curb. They'd okay. be higher than the normal curb height. So mm-hmm. if somebody had a stroller or a wheelchair or a bike, it would be a level step. So you're mm-hmm. not having, you know, a higher step to get on. So it's easier for ADA accessibility. Also looking at off-board fare collection.
Right.
So you buy your ticket off-board and then you just hop on, which makes the service quicker.
One of the challenges for all of these routes are going to be, because these are not this bus rapid transit, these are not the regular buses that people see on the street with Indigo. These are not the buses that they see with the Indy Connect that goes out into the suburbs. These are kind of sleek train-looking things on tires.
Yeah.
And the issue is, and this will be in a number of places, how are you going to get them under the railroad tracks over by Sherman Drive on the east side, over by Indigo over off of Harding Street on the west side. And then there's another one past Tibbs. And then there's another one past the rental car places as you go out toward the airport. How are you going to get them under those viaducts?
Actually,
is that one of the engineering challenges of this?
It is one of the things that, we look at. Also, so we want these to run faster than the bus today. And
right.
Ideally, more that of the automobile. So it's also looking at, you know, how can we get faster service? Are we dedicating lanes specifically just for buses? And what does that look like? Are we taking out parking lanes for buses to run in, and how that impacts the community? And there's specific block-by-block recommendations that we're talking about and would like the residents' feedback on their thoughts and opinions.
I think that the work that has happened since the last round of public meetings to where we are today is we've gone from curb to curb and foot by foot the length of the corridor to kind of wash for those fatal flaws. Will the discussed technology bus be able to fit underneath the bridge? So the answer is yes at this point. Or we start to know, as we're estimating capital costs, what may have to go in if we have a situation where that kind of happens.
In bus rapid transit, do those buses travel at the same speed limit as cars, or do they operate at a higher speed limit, same speed limit, lower speed limit?
It's same speed limit.
Same speed limit.
Right,
but but because they're stopping less often than the local bus, right? Mm-hmm. If the local bus stops every three blocks and we've got stations spaced every half mile or mile,
right?
And then when they get to an intersection with a traffic signal, mm-hmm. if everybody else has to stop and they get to go through, or they get to jump the line because they've got a special green light, like we do for emergency service vehicles, then that's...
So the same technology that allows on College and a number of streets in the city where our fire trucks hit the flasher and then all of a sudden the signals go green, with the same technology would work.
And so that's where they pick up the time. By stopping less... And then being able to bypass traffic.
Because one of the questions I had, and this deals more with the red line moving north, is Washington Street is mostly commercial, though there are some pockets of residential, particularly in some of the Near East Side and some of the Irvington area. So that's one of the considerations, because you don't want, you know, because in the summer kids will start to dart out, even in a street like US 40, Washington Street, to make sure that the safety is there. All right. So now that's the blue line. That's the simple one. Red line would go all, as I'm looking at this, all the way from Greenwood, looks like up US 31, up to I always get confused with past Manual High School, past Crystal House Academy, past Eli Lilly, past the field house, whatever it's called this week, and would eventually get to, I can't tell whether this is Meridian Street, Central, College, and eventually would end up at Carmel City Center or Mayor Brainerd City Hall.
Yeah, so we like to talk about the red line in two segments, break it up from the south side to the north side for obvious reasons. So going south, some of the input we got on the south end was people really wanted to be able to reach Fountain Square as a cultural destination, dining destination, whatever. So going down Virginia towards Fountain Square and then angling down
Shelby
and then down Madison.
Okay.
All right. Going north gets a little more, and there are some tweaks that we'll show in the maps at the meetings, kind of a bifurcation of the splitting of the line on the south end so that we have access to St. Francis as well, right? That's an incredibly important destination to serve. And then what exactly are we doing in the downtown? While we know a lot of folks want to get to Fountain Square, do we need to get to the front door of Lilly? Do we need to get to the back door of Lilly? Is that one of those things where Lilly will figure it out because they kind of own all the ground around there anyway? Anyway, so those are some of the questions we'll be showing in the boards and the meetings. And then the north side has some flexibility too in terms of the specific streets that they're running on downtown.
Is there thought of running bus rapid transit on Meridian Street for part of the way?
So that is still on the table for discussion downtown to 38th Street for that red line, as well as kind of the Capital Illinois. And we really want to hear, this is kind of one of my, is what are the thoughts on that? Is Is that a good idea to the public? I know we've weighed the pros and cons kind of technically.
In other cities that have bus rapid transit, do they drive them on major streets where the majority of buildings on those streets are residential? Because any of the routes north of 38th Street going north, whether you use Central, whether you use College, for the most part are mostly residential until you get past Broad Ripple. Meridian Street is almost out because there's no way the governor is going to let you have a bus or not just so much. I don't want to pick on the governor. The other ritzy people on Meridian Street in the historic district ain't going to let you run bus rapid transit down there. But you know, the residential considerations, and then also Illinois and Capitol, other than the area around Ivy Tech and the Children's Museum and Methodist, that's all residential. Are there other cities where that happens?
You know, it depends, right? A transportation corridor is unique in that a lot of times when you're having a major investment discussion like this, you're going to look at where your ridership is today. So we know, for example, in Meridian Street from the Circle to 38th Street, there's a tremendous amount of ridership mm-hmm. in that, you know, we could be interlining this with other route service and you could see frequency because you've got multiple routes in that section of Meridian up to 38th running every 6 to 8 minutes.
Right.
Now, that's a tremendous amount of mobility advantage for somebody trying to get to work and where you want to go. And then if jogging over to College, and then because there's a great deal of ridership now in that College Avenue corridor, and working our way north from there.
239-1310 is afternoon's names. We're talking with the folks from Mass Transit. There'll be a series of public meetings beginning this coming Tuesday, August the 6th. One is at the Arts Garden at lunch hour, 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m., and the other one in the evening, 6 to 7:30 p.m. down at the Keep Indianapolis Beautiful Offices down in Fountain Square. 239-1310, let me go to Tanya. Hi there.
Hi, Amos. I wanted to ask, I can't remember what color the line is, but the bus that goes from Cumberland to the airport, mm-hmm. why not have the bus go all the way to Plainfield? Because that's where the city bus already stops, is the airport. So it should be an extension of the city bus route.
And I think that depends on who gets to vote on this. Isn't that right, Anna? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask something else, because I am a city bus driver, and that's one of the main complaints that we have, is that there are no buses that will take the people beyond the airport so that they can get to the jobs that are out in Plainfield.
Well, we do have something called the Plainfield Connector, and CERTA runs that, and it's not the level of service that Indigo provides in the Route 8 by any means, but at Bridgeport Road in the morning and in the afternoon, Monday through Friday, folks can catch a bus. That this is a partnership between CERTA and the town of Plainfield. Town of Plainfield has actually helped paying for it with a federal grant that we got, and that serves access to those warehouse distribution logistics areas. And we'll work with Indigo to make sure they have information for the drivers to know some more about that. But then to the point, the question, original question about Plainfield, Anna had a thought on that.
And I forgot that thought. But when does your service start?
It's starting. It's operating now. Okay. Yeah, Plainfield Connector runs now.
Yeah,
I've had people just say that it's not good enough, so that's why I was.
Oh, sure. Yeah, no, we've got to increase the level of frequency and the access, and that gets back to the funding question as well.
And the issue is the folks who live in Hendricks County have to agree to let the people in Hendricks County vote on whether they want to pay for transit service to enter their county. And then that's when you could be driving one of the first bus rapid transit thingamajigs all the way out to Plainfield.
Absolutely.
Because I get the feeling you could handle a big bus rapid transit.
I really could.
I think she could.
You're ready. So that's really the challenge. It's not the Marion County folk, it's the other folk. But that's a great question, Tanya. I appreciate it. Thank you. 239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's name. Let me go to Lewis. Hi, Lewis.
Hey, Amos.
Hi.
Hey, you know, I recently went to Los Angeles, and I had to go through Denver, Colorado, and everything on the Greyhound bus. And don't ask me why I took Greyhound. It was crazy. Like, I wanted to see the West. But I noticed downtown. When I got off the bus and just riding around downtown Denver and Long Beach, I got so jealous.
Oh, yeah.
You get off the Greyhound bus there, they got at least four or five city routes right there at the bus stop. And then when I get back to Indianapolis, I see an old lady getting off the bus. Everybody can't afford to have someone come pick them up all the time.
Mm-hmm.
This old lady got off the Greyhound, had about 3 or 4 suitcases, could barely walk. She had to catch a cab from our Greyhound just to the bus stop.
Mm.
Why can't we have just a regular city bus go to our Greyhound bus station after 7 o'clock? I mean, you got to pay extra money just to get from Greyhound. Everybody, like I said, everybody don't have someone to come pick them up from the bus station all the time. We say we want to be a big-time city. We act like we want to be Chicago, New York, but we stuck in Mayberry. You know, you got to spend some money if you want to be a big-time city. You can't put it all in a cricket field.
All right, hold on, Lewis. Aaron wants to respond.
Well, I was going to say, once again, Amos has the smartest listening audience in all of Indianapolis. Lewis is right on it, and one of the conversations that's going on right now, an actual project that is in process,
mm-hmm.
is Indigo is working on building a real downtown transit center. They're beyond Washington Street on the south side of the city-county building, and one of the conversations that's going on related to that is how can we get the intercity passenger bus companies like Greyhound to be in closer proximity to that. So I think Lewis is a budding transportation planner because that's the kind of connections that we want to be able to make in this, in the short term, I think that, you know, unfortunately, I don't know that there's a practical solution immediately in front of us, but I know that folks are looking at where and how we might be able to make those connections better.
Given that if you had the center where Greyhound, because Greyhound loves to have bus stations, don't ask me why, could intersect with these routes, what about Megabus that does not believe in bus stations? They just believe in standing on the street corner. How do you weave them into making sure that their stop is close, or make them, hey, this is where you're going to stop, right next to one of our stops?
Right. Well, actually, today the pickup for Megabus is right across from the proposed station location. So we'll mm-hmm. see if that continues to be the norm. Right now, it would be a great access point. I do want to mention, though we're out talking about those three specific projects, right, kind of in these upcoming meetings, that a huge part of the IndyConnect plan is doubling the local bus service.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about kind of later hours of operation, increased frequency, and more crosstown routes. And I want to make sure that everybody understands that that is a huge component of the plan, though, you know, we're here today to talk about the rapid transit lines.
Right. Yeah. Now, Chris, who is the pride and joy of beautiful Franklin Township, was looking at the maps earlier, and he still feels that there's no love for Franklin Township as the plans are evolving. You're going to have the memorial Chris Representative Mike Speedy bus for Franklin Township. This could get a vote here in the legislature. You never know.
Well, I think that my answer to Chris is good planning never ends, right? So the city of Indianapolis, Marion County, the region is going to continue to change and evolve. So as we move forward on these plans, we also have to recognize the fact that over the course of the next 3 to 5 years, we're going to see demographic shifts and changes. And after that, another 3 to 5 years. So, you know, eventually we're going to put something on the ground and get it operating. But we have to look at where and how service will grow and flex to that. And I think when there's a growing demand, a greater demand in Franklin Township as it continues to develop, as business continues to locate there, you'll start to see recommendations for proposals for more routes to that area.
The Green Line, a.k.a. from Noblesville all the way downtown, as I read the release this morning, I saw a shift, what I thought was a shift in language, saying the 23-mile Green Line will run from downtown Indianapolis to Noblesville using a variety of on-street rail or busway options.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first time I've seen something other than rail on that corridor. Is that a change?
Actually, it's been something that's been on the table all along. We may have not done a good enough job talking about bus as an option in that corridor, but what the option is to have an exclusive bus running way specifically just for bus, and mm-hmm. then it would come off on 10th Street, mm-hmm. and we need to determine how it would service the downtown transit center.
And I think
so. That could be the compromise, because the legislature, a lot of legislators and the governor was balking at cost of this whole thing.
Well,
and rail drives the cost.
Yeah, there's a cost for rail. I think the thing that we need to understand is that even when we use that corridor, if we were to convert that corridor to a busway,
right.
You're ripping up all the track and essentially building a two-lane road.
Mm-hmm.
That's not cheap. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, we're evaluating still, and why we haven't said here's a preferred recommendation for what technology might fit there is because we're still getting more information about those costs. What are the true operating costs of running a busway versus a light rail option or rail versus bus? You know, if the legislature makes a policy decision about where and how we, you know, transit agencies can spend the new local revenue, should we get that opportunity?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's another conversation. If they want to limit, that's totally up to them. I think right now our responsibility is to put forward the best plan in response to both community engagement and using the data and the analytical tools we have available to us, and then we'll kind of see where it all settles out in the end.
The Indiana Senate, when mass transit didn't make it to the finish line in this legislature, said they were going to do a summer study committee. I don't recall getting anything in the mail or email that said that they actually had the meeting. Did they ever have the meeting?
It hasn't met yet.
Summer's almost – school is starting. Summer's over. They're waiting for the start of school?
It's scheduled. It's scheduled.
So the first meeting is Monday, August 5th mm-hmm. at 1 p.m.
Okay.
at the State House, and they put it in room 431. It's a good mix of regional legislators. I know I won't rattle them off, but they do have a site up at the mm-hmm. Indiana government website. And I think the first meeting is going to be focusing on need. They will have folks from NDOT, Indigo, the Transit Task Force, other municipalities talking about why they think this is important or what process they've gone through to determine the need. And I think a second meeting will then start to talk about some of the real specifics of what's the plan, what's the costs, what are the governing proposals, and so forth.
239-1310, 239-1310. It's afternoon's name. Let me go to Councilman Joe Simpson. Hi, Joe.
Hey, Amos. How you doing?
Fine.
I'm a little surprised by all this. I just came in my office and listened to the radio and just turned on the news once again. No one is talking to us down here who live in the city. We're being ignored. I don't know who's on this committee. And then they expect us, the city county council, after passing bills 621, and think that we're going to yield to this. I don't know what world they're living in. People down here can't afford an increase, a tax increase. And I don't know why they're talking about a population shift. Are they talking about moving some people around? I mean, I don't know where they're coming with this plan, and it sounds as though it's gentrification once again. And so I have some real issues, and I think this community should be outraged and upraged about someone talking about the population shift. When I hear that, it's the same thing I heard 10 or 15 years ago on Northside and all that, and it was gentrification. So, I mean, somebody needs to explain who is this group of elected officials. Because it sure ain't me, and most of this area they're talking about is in my area.
Well, I think there's two different groups. One is a legislative study committee that is going to study again mass transit, and they probably haven't reached out.
Well, what they gonna reach out after it's all over with? Especially when they sit here and act like the city county council, they pass 621 and right. treating us like we don't have no control in this city, and then they want to come. There are some real issues that they need to get ready for.
Well, the other is there will be a series of public meetings that IndyConnect is doing to update people on the more detail of their own plan.
But why are they not talking to us? Why are they going to tell us what the update is? Once again, when I hear population shift, I mean, they're sitting there awfully quiet right now. Nobody's opening their mouth. I'm very upset. I mean, this is once again, we're going to tell city county council what how you're going to control yourself.
Well,
but then at the same time, you're going to come and tell us about in our own neighborhood, we're going to do population shift, and then you're going to sit there and tell us this is the plan.
All right, let me let Anna and Aaron respond.
Joe, I would love to sit down with you as my counselor. I would love to sit down with you and we can talk about the plan. I live in your district in Mapleton Fall Creek and would be happy to sit down and talk to you about the specifics of the plan or be happy to see you at any of the 9 meetings.
I'll just say my reference to population shift only reflects what is happening in demographic trends all throughout the region. I mean, this is just...
I mean, you're making it sound like there's going to be a population shift. I mean, what you said is not what I heard.
I guess
and what I'm saying is, if I'm going to end this conversation by saying this. If you don't talk to us in Marion County, it's going to be very difficult to deal with anything that you're talking about doing. And I'll leave it with that. Thank you, Amy.
All right, appreciate it. Let me ask this other question because we're getting ready to have budget season, and the city is now talking about it, and I talked to some folks yesterday that are telling me that the budget deficit, the structural budget deficit for the city is going to be north of $60 million. That is either going to require some sharp cuts in services or somebody will figure out a creative way to raise revenue. Is there a concern from IndyConnect that the city county's budget woes could cause people in Marion County to be very nervous about any additional additional tax increase, even if it's an income tax increase?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think those are reasonable concerns to have.
Mm-hmm.
They require a lot of thinking and a lot of work. I think that the approach, as it's been proposed to the legislature, to give voters a voice in deciding whether or not they want to make this investment, when it comes down to that time, I think, you know, we have to do a job of presenting what this plan is and what the return to the community would be if they make this investment. And ultimately, a voter's choice to make that decision. I think that's one of the other things that factors in. The legislative proposal, House Bill 1011 that got changed, gave authority to the local legislative bodies to even put the question on the ballot. So there's a role for local government to play in deciding whether or not the question even gets to voters. And I think, you know, there's definitely a lot of work to do on that. We're clearly focusing on what's the story? What are we talking about building? How does it impact neighborhoods and create opportunity? And then at that point in time where the investment decision's made, the local elected officials will have decided whether or not folks get the vote. And then and they may decide this year's not the year.
Mm-hmm.
They might decide we got to put it off for another year because there are other priorities. That is why we have local elected officials, right? We hire them to do a big job and make difficult decisions. And so I think, you know, we're a part of that process, but we're facilitating a process that gets us there.
You can find out more about this updated plan at IndyConnect.org, IndyConnect.org. Then there's a series of meetings. The first meetings are this coming Tuesday at lunchtime, 11:30 to 1:30 at the Arts Garden at downtown Circle Center. Then there are a bunch of evening meetings. All of them are from 6 to 7:30 next Tuesday. At the Keep Indianapolis Beautiful offices down in Fountain Square, 1029 Fletcher Avenue. On Wednesday the 7th at the Noblesville City Hall. Y'all know where that is if you live in Noblesville. On Thursday, August the 8th at that apartment complex over where Central State used to be. It's called The Steeples on Washington.
It's a lovely name.
Called it Central State, but anyway, that's at Washington Street, almost before you get to Tibbs. Then on Wednesday, August the 13th, they'll be out in the Center Court at Washington Square Mall. On Wednesday, August the 14th, they'll be at the Monon Center in the heart of Carmel. On Thursday, August the 15th, they'll be out at Martin University, 2171 Avondale Place. On Tuesday, August the 20th, they'll be down in beautiful Greenwood at the Greenwood Public Library. And then the final public meeting is on Thursday, August 22nd at North United Methodist Church, 38th and Meridian Street. If you want more information, again, you can go to IndyConnect.org, IndyConnect.org. Aaron Bingaman with the Central Indiana Regional Transit Authority and Anna Teskowitz with the Metropolitan Planning Organization. Guys, thanks very much for being with us. Glad to have you.
Thank you, Amos.